on this sermon, so Missy just got a bunch of anxiety. She's not the only one. Matthew chapter 20, there in the, Jesus tells the parable of the talents, and we're going to be speaking quite a bit about that parable tonight. And I'm not going to read the parable, but in essence, the master gives the servants a certain amount of talents, and he expects them to use those. And we're going to talk about that this evening. And you know, today we use numbers all the time. Without really knowing the significance of their meaning. For example, how many feet are in a mile? Does anybody know? Paul, anybody? Around 5280. And do you know why? The term comes from a Latin word, and I'm going to say it milli, M-I-L-L-E, which means a thousand. And to the Romans, that was the distance a soldier could cover in a thousand paces, which was about 5,000 feet. But the British measured their fields in furlongs, which was about 660 feet long, and they didn't want to change. And so when the mile was introduced to England, it was changed to 5,280 feet, or exactly 8 furlongs. Or does anybody know, Lex may know this, the distance between the pitcher's mound and home plate? It's 60 feet and 6 inches. And the reason why it was 50 foot until 1893, when some of the baseball executives changed it to 60 feet. But the surveyor that they hired to remap their infield misread the instructions. And so he thought 60 feet and 0 inches was 60 feet and 6 inches. And so that's how we've got the distance there. That extra 6 inches has been around ever since. And you might ask, what difference does that make? And it's not a whole lot. But it does point that we often use numbers without knowing exactly why they're there. For instance, let's talk a little bit about clothes sizes for a second. I wear a 9.5 shoe, but I need to wear around a size 11 sock. Doesn't make any sense. Or why is my hat size an 8, but my collar size is 17? That doesn't make sense. How can I fit my head through that hole in my shirt if it's like that? Why is the average man's suit size a 40, but a woman's dress size a 12? We're not that much bigger. But we use numbers, I say all that to say again, we use numbers all the time without knowing their significance or meaning. And it's true sometimes when we study scripture as well. And again, here in the talent or parable of the talents, if you're like me, you've probably always thought that the talent might be worth a few hundred dollars. But I read something this past week that had me fairly impressed. Matthew chapter 20, Jesus tells that parable of the workers hired to labor in the vineyard. And we're told there that a denarius is worth a day's wages. One talent is worth 6,000 denarii, which would take a person working about 5 or 6 days a week for 20 years, or maybe a little bit more, to earn one talent. So, if we say that we earn $30,000 a year for the next 20 years, then that would make a talent worth around $600,000. That's a lot of money. Don't check my math. I borrowed it. But since Jesus used here the talents, the parable of the talents, to teach about the proper use of God's gifts, this is sort of what it tells me. It tells me, number one, that the talents that God entrusts me with are highly valuable. And number two, that the master had good financial reason to be pleased or displeased with his servants. And just think of how you would feel if in, let's say, 10 years ago, you inherited $600,000. And you gave it to an investment company, and they would buy stock for you in the market, and the Dow was at around 3,000 at that time when they bought it. And say, for instance, just last Friday, you learned that the market closed at around 10.7. That would more than triple your investment, giving you somewhere around $2,140,000. And so you go down to the investment company to cash out, and to your surprise, they never bought any stock for you. They had went out back and buried your money in a cigar box. Now, how would that make you feel? You can imagine here in the parable of the talents how the master felt when he threw the unfaithful servant outside into the darkness. And when you think about it like that, you can't hardly blame him. And what Jesus is saying here in this parable is that God gives each of us talents. And what we do and how we use these talents for God, God's kingdom, its increases or profits from our faithfulness. That is, God benefits. And God is overwhelmed with joy and happiness. And what's more, God wants to, and He will, reward us. Each of the faithful servants was put in charge of greater things. In Hebrews, the 6th chapter, in verse 10, there it tells us that God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown Him as you have helped His people and continue to help them. In Hebrews 11:6 also says that God rewards those who diligently seek Him. In Matthew, the 6th chapter, in verse 33, Jesus says to seek first the kingdom of God. And in the Old Testament, God tells Joshua in Joshua chapter 1, verse 7 and 8, to be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, but that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let the book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. God truly wants to reward us, and God will reward us when we put those talents to use. He's given us to work. And I want just to point out something what Jesus is teaching here in Matthew chapter 25. It didn't matter, or in chapter 20 here, it didn't matter how many of the talents each servant had. The same phrase of praise was given to each. In other words, God doesn't look at what we do. God looks at our effort with what we have. And just notice the master's response to that man with one talent there in verse 27. God wasn't concerned with the size of what was accomplished. He just wanted his servants to do something with what they were given. God is sort of like a story I read where a minister was busy in a study preparing for a sermon, and he reached for a book and remembered that he had left it downstairs, and he called his young daughter and explained carefully where she could find the book, and she went gladly and returning in a moment with a book, and he immediately saw that it was the wrong one, and he hardly looked at the book, but he kissed his daughter and told her thanks, and as she left feeling happy and content. And then he went quietly downstairs and got the book that he needed. Now, why did I use that illustration? Because that is really our relationship with God. It is not that of an employee with an employer. God isn't looking at a balance sheet of his company. He's looking at his children. He's given us responsibility, and he's wanting us to grow up. Think about when your kids were little, when they would decide to help you do something, and it usually, you know, didn't quite turn out quite like you wanted it to, but there was that sense of pride that they were attempting to do something, and you knew as they grew older that they were going to want to take on bigger responsibilities, and each time that they would do more, your heart would swell a little bit with pride and pleasure. Well, that is sort of how God treats us. And the more that we do, the more I believe that He wants to reward us. And God is so much better at loving and rewarding His children than no doubt any of us are as parents. He realizes that we need encouragement and we need reward. And so He says, seek first the kingdom, and I'll supply your needs. Do well with your talents that I've given you, and I'll give you bigger responsibilities. I'll trust you with more of my kingdom because you are my children. Now, he may not reward us like we like to be rewarded. any more than we sometimes reward our children like they'd like to be rewarded. But the objective is not in receiving the reward. The reward, again, is not the objective. The objective for us is becoming what God wants us to be, what our Father knows that we are capable of becoming. Tonight, if you are not a Christian, we urge you again, as we did this morning, to make that decision as together we stand and we sing.
I bring my sin to thee, the sin of